Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. My name's Rodney, and I'm joined not by Will today. Will is working his ass off, shoveling snow and bitching about it. So we brought a new guy in that we've had on the podcast before. His name's Bradley. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Bradley's freshly joined the VGN team. He's going to be one of our game players. If you guys want to join the VGM team, go to our website, videogamesnow.ca, and we threw out an article about it. We're looking for a couple of positions to be filled on our team, so we would love to go through all the candidates. And we're going to talk about a couple things today. We're going to talk about Reggie Fils-Aimé leaving Nintendo, which is a little bit sad. What do you think about that, Bradley?
I see it being pretty upsetting for a lot of people. I feel like it's the new trend now because the Blizzards, some of the big Blizzard people have stepped down in the past year. So I think there'll be a few more heartbreaks coming.
Yeah, we're entering a new generation of gaming for sure. And we're also going to talk about, just dropped this morning, new Pokemon games. Pokemon Sword and Shield have been announced, and there's game footage and all that kind of stuff, which you can also find on our website at videogamesnow.ca. And we would love to start talking about that, so why don't we get right into it. So everything like that's coming up right now. All right, so Reggie Fils-Aimé stepping down from Nintendo. Why don't we start with that? Actually, before we start with that, Bradley, we haven't talked in quite some time. You've been tearing up the comment section on our Facebook page. What have you been playing lately?
I just started going back and playing Wolfenstein 2. It is a very fun first-person shooter, really gory. And then I'm still on the Fortnite bandwagon and Apex Legends.
Very nice, very nice. Yes, I've been playing. I've been going back and forth between Apex Legends and Anthem. I'll have a couple things to say about that a little bit later. And today I wanted to play more Anthem, but I actually have been setting up my flight simulator. I've had a flight simulator for a while, but I haven't had it hooked up because I just didn't have any space. But last weekend, right after we did the podcast, Will and I striked the studio and moved it into the garage. So there's lots of space now. And yeah, I got that all set up. It's a lot of wires and a lot of programming. But it took me about 5 hours today to get it up and running fully.
Damn, 5 hours.
Yeah, it was a big project. So you have like about 6 programs running aside from the actual simulation program.
So. Yeah, that, I don't know if I could set that up.
The programs make it quite easy. It's just tedious. It's called SPAD Next. It basically talks to all my instruments, like my actual simulator, like joystick and throttle. I have instrument panels and autopilot and all that kind of stuff, like hardware. So it takes all the signals from that and then actually deciphers it and then communicates with the simulation. So I can actually just use other stuff and not just push like buttons on the keyboard. So yeah, it's pretty freaking complicated, but I'm actually curious, anybody to go on our Facebook page. If you want to see me actually stream flying, like in multiplayer or whatever, I don't know if anyone would be interested in that. I'll do it, but if there's not an audience for it. All right, so
I've seen people stream VR, and like the only thing I'd suggest is making sure you have someone there to read the comments to you.
Yeah,
because if you're in your own little world, you don't see what people are saying, and it's really funny to watch. But having someone to be like, "Hey, this person's making fun of you."
Yeah,
I think it'd be entertaining.
I've seen people troll people on the multiplayer version of like Flight Simulator, and it's freaking hilarious. Like they'll come on the radio and be like, "Oh, you know, this is Flight 9999, you know, nose diving for runway 21 or whatever." So, yeah, it's funny. But anyway, so let's move on here to Reggie Fils-Aimé, the meme-tastic president/ex-president of Nintendo. So he came in kind of at the tail end of the GameCube era there, and he's actually changed Nintendo a lot from the old days, really. Like, originally it was, who was it actually originally? I'll look that up quickly, but yeah, he came in, like I said, end of the GameCube, and like the 60, like the NES, the SNES, the 64, and even the GameCube, like those are all super revolutionary consoles. And then so he kind of took over after that once the big boom of the Xbox and Microsoft, or sorry, Xbox and PlayStation came in and started really rivaling Nintendo. So he kind of had a tough gig.
Yeah, he did. He had a lot of fun with it, though. Like, he really took it, took his job, and you know he loved doing it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always on stage. He always looked very happy to be up there, and he inspired a shit ton of memes that are just great. So, I pulled up a meme thing. So, he did the My Body's Ready when he was introducing Wii Fit, so that was amazing. the best meme ever. And then he triggered the Regigigas meme from Pokemon. I can't remember how he did that one though.
Regigigas. I'm gonna pull up the memes too and see if I can find some.
Yeah, my internet's being really shitty though. Like I'm talking to you and I'm doing something else. It's loaded the Pokemon Sword and Shield video for later, but it can't load a single web page. Like it just won't. oh my god, this one's really good. Regigigas, my Giga Impact is ready. Oh, that's funny.
Let's see what I...
So, yeah, he's good, but he's being succeeded by, what's his goddamn name? Doug Bowser, and I don't know if he's only getting promoted because his last name's Bowser, or... Yeah.
That's a really... I wonder if, like, he purposely changed his name for that.
Yeah, maybe that was, you know, that's what put him on the top of the pile at when they were had the hiring fair at Nintendo. Like his last name is Bowser, he's in. Yeah. Oh, okay. This is a Reggie quote. We don't want to share our games with beaners because they're so goddamn ugly, annoying, and they're always happy. And I remember in a Nintendo Direct. He it was about Smash Brothers. He said no Johns, and we're like, what? So yeah, it was good. If anyone knows who that reference is for, so yeah, he's great. I remember he did the ice bucket challenge when that was a thing a couple years ago, and yeah, he's we're gonna miss him dearly. So I'm sure Will would say somewhat of the same thing. So. I can't do a Will imitation. I can imitate a lot of people, but I can't imitate Will.
Can't just, do it well.
He's pretty low.
Well, some Bowser has some pretty big shoes to fill, figuratively and literally. So
yeah,
hopefully he can live up to the expectations.
And from what I gather, he has the same sort of persona that Reggie had. Because he's come on stage a couple times. He's the currently he's the senior vice president of sales and marketing, and yeah, so he just gave off that Nintendo-esque persona, if you will.
I'm looking back at Doug Bowser's Twitter, and I see a tweet from December 16th, and he's wearing like an ugly sweater suit, but it's all Mario. Uh-oh. And like Mario stars and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah, so as long as he can keep, because you know what, like, Nintendo has charm, and that's what wins them over on at E3 and stuff, is they try to kind of make it like a performance, and not just like some guy talking on a stage about the future of Nintendo or whatever.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
So I think Doug Bowser can fill those shoes pretty good. I mean, his last name is Bowser, so I'm sure his feet size are like 13 or whatever.
I don't know. As long as his first one coming out, like, he actually dress ups as Bowser and comes out and does, like, a presentation, then no. He'll win me over.
Man, no, he should come out dressed as Reggie.
As Reggie.
Oh, as a Reggie Gigas.
That would win me over, too.
That would be so good. We should contact Doug Bowser right now. See, the other shitty thing, too, is I wanted to get an interview with Reggie Fils-Aimé. That was, like, my dream goal on this podcast, and we're not going to be able to do that now. Actually, maybe now. He's retired. Yeah, he's got lots of time.
I would start spamming him and be like, hey, when you retire, you should come out and just chat with us.
Yeah, right now I'm sure he's getting just bombarded hard by, like, every game, news, anything.
Oh,
for an interview,
you'd imagine. Yeah, interview and like future plans for retirement and yeah, I can't. That'd be crazy.
As an ex-president, do you get future Nintendo consoles for free? I would.
I would hope so. I would make sure that's in my contract.
Yeah, that's the pension. You don't get any actual money. You just get all future games and consoles.
I'd be okay with that. That'd be a good way to live.
Yeah. Because then when you're done, you can sell them, and then you can feed yourself.
That's true.
So
they never lose value. That's one thing with Nintendo, right? Like, everything keeps its value. So even if you hold on to it for, like, a couple of years, it'd be like, here, I'm going to sell this for regular price.
And straight up, it would, like, quadruple in price, be like, Reggie Fils-Aimé owned Super Mario Maker 2.
Yeah, let me sign that for you.
Oh, man, that'd be
$500.
Yeah, no, that's definitely what he's doing. That's a good deal for sure. Pretty soon, I'll be signing game things and be like, yeah, Rodney owned this shitty fucking Titanfall game. You can have it now.
It's yours for a low, low price of $5.
Oh, man, that's a bargain. Yeah. I would give it to them for free, honestly. But free doesn't...
I've seen Best Buy was selling Titanfall 2 for $10. Brand new.
Jeez. What was the worst one I saw? Fallout 76 dropped pretty low too, actually.
Oh, that one almost cut in half within a week.
Yeah. Did you I think we talked about this before. Did you see the video of the guy that, like, trashed any EB Games because they wouldn't give him his money back?
Yes.
Oh, savage. Oh. So savage.
That was good.
Yeah, Reggie was watching him and he got what he deserved. So, anyways, So, yeah, it's very sad that Reggie's leaving Nintendo, but as we said, I think Doug Bowser will do an excellent job. So, anyways, I think let's move on to our next topic here, which we're probably going to talk about for a good chunk of time, passing the torch on. And we're going to talk about Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, and we released an article this morning that kind of just outlined briefly of most of the stuff that was talked about in the video. So it's on the Switch, obviously, and it's set to come out in the late 2019. That's this year, right?
This is going to be their late November Christmas, buy it and get a Switch with it. Like, this will sell a ton of new units for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the region looks great. It's called the Galar region. And... I was kind of talking to Bradley and Will about this morning. I'm not really sure which area this is based off of. Actually, you know what? Now that I'm looking at it, maybe it's based off of Italy. That would make sense. Cause I could see
Italy.
Yeah, we were thinking, like, I was thinking earlier, maybe France, because of one of the towers looks like the Notre Dame Tower, but they've already done France in X and Y, so it would be somewhere else in Europe. But I think I could think Italy, because it's a long, narrow... plot of land.
Yeah, I can see with the long narrow. Yeah, I definitely see that. I can kind of see some inspiration from, like, England, though.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. But yeah, it's going to be good. And so, it was at 6 a.m. I think. Yeah, was the 6 a.m. my time. I'm at
yes.
Pacific. So I was looking. I woke up at 5 a.m. because I get up that early all the time, and Bradley just happened to message me and saying, are you going to watch the Direct in like an hour? And I'm like, I am now.
I'm glad I had good timing.
Yeah, really good timing. So anyway, so yeah, the Galar region looks super sick. There's fields, rolling hills, farmland, cool looking European towns. Snowy mountains. They got good chunk of stuff. They look like they have a cycling road there. I'm looking on our website at the actual photo. I don't know where you're looking.
I have one open here with the whole.
Oh, the whole thing. Yeah, I'm actually gonna look at that right now. I was thinking of doing that this morning, stitching that together, and I just didn't. Let me jump it over.
I'll message it in Skype here.
Okay, cool. I can probably find it quickly on my images. Yeah, here it is. I got it. Oh, all right. There it is. So, what a great sound effect that was. Is that Big Ben?
Do you think that's what it looks like?
Yeah. Let me look at this again. There it is. So, I don't. Yeah, it could be England because it's surrounded by ocean.
Yeah,
but England doesn't have those big mountains, does it? I've never been there.
So I've never been there either, but I know like if you take that whole island, I feel like it has a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Like England, Scotland, Ireland, if you take all of them, like I feel like there's little bits of everything from that location.
Right. Cause yeah, they basically just take the surrounding landscape and then just make an actual region. They don't. The only one that it was based pretty closely off the actual lands was the first two, and I think Generation 4 was based up towards like where Mount Fuji is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure where Hoenn was based, but yeah, 5 was New York, and 6 was France, and then 7 was Hawaii. So yeah, shout out to our European listeners.
Yeah.
We don't have many, but we have some.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks really cool. That picture of the mansion by the lake is like stunning. Stunning.
Oh yeah. Like there's so much to it.
Yeah. So I like that. Sorry. I was going to say earlier, there's it looks like a cycling road that goes, it's on the left-hand side of the map there, kind of by the lakes.
Okay, yeah, no, I see it.
Yeah,
I see what you're talking about.
So, it looks like it goes from the town there with Big Ben, if that's what you want to call it, all the way down into this into the mountains below. So, you know what? Honestly, I think if you look down at the very bottom there, that's probably your starter town.
I believe so.
Yeah.
It looks exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the house with the red roof is the starter town, and then the yellow roof is like where you get your starter Pokemon.
Yes, that's a good guess. I think the red house is probably, yeah, your house.
Yeah, that's your house, and then the yellow house is, like, the professor's.
Yeah, oh, you have to go through the mountains to get your starter Pokemon. Cool! I'll just catch one. Let's go style. Speaking of that, catching mechanics have reverted back to the way they were. So,
the catching mechanics and the random encounters.
Yes. So I did like that in Let's Go, but I appreciate the fact that they went back to the way it was before for a main entry series.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's what they needed to do.
Yeah. So we gotta roam through grass and grind. Fuck.
but it's a whole new, like, it's not, it's like a whole series of new Pokemon to grab.
Yeah, this is true.
It's like that mystery of like, oh, is it a new one? Which one is it?
Yeah. We'll talk about the starters in a little bit here. We're just kind of going over the map a little bit more. So, that building in the pretty well the middle of the map just before the mountains looks majestic as shit. I'm wondering what the fuck that is.
Oh, like the gray building here, right beside the rock town-ish place?
No. It's like dead center of the map. It's in that little bowl there below the snowy mountains.
Yeah, so the kind of has, I don't know, it could be like a bad guy's place.
It kind of looks like
Team Rockets.
Yeah, Team Rocket is in that palace there. So, Yeah, it looks so fucking cool. See, we made a video earlier late last year called Everything That Generation 8 Needs to Be Awesome. It's on YouTube, so you guys can find it on our YouTube channel. And yeah, I talked about a couple things in that video. One was that there needs to be some sort of there needs to be a good like opposing team, like region criminal team, you know, like and you and your rival can maybe take them down single-handedly. Like, I just hate how they undermine your rival. It just pisses me off. Like, your rival's like comes around and he's like super chill, like, oh, let's have a friendly battle, and you're like, fuck off, I don't want to fight you. And then when you fight him and beat him, he's like, oh, that was so much fun. You just want to punt him. Oh, I hate the rivals in the new games.
So you want something a little more like the rival is like a member of the evil organization?
Dude, that would be fucking boss. That you just literally not read my mind, but you like read what I was putting down. That's exactly what we need. So, yeah.
Like, I'd be on board with that. It's something different. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Like, we just need another Gary. Like, we just need someone to be someone,
like someone you have to hate.
Yeah, like, you killed my fucking Ranita, bud. Yeah. So yeah, we need a rival that basically motivates you to get stronger, just so he's never better than you. Yeah, that's a must. There's a couple of other things here. Let me just pull up my script from that video, and which is, I think, in here. I'll figure that out. But yeah, what were your thoughts on the starters?
Okay, Grookey is my favorite, I think, of all time.
Oh, really?
He is so cool.
Shit,
and I feel like I'm alone on that, because everyone else I've talked to so far are like, oh yeah, it's Sobble or Scorbunny, but I'm like, no, Grookey is the way to go.
Yeah.
He looks so cool.
But, and you know what? They're never going to show you their evolved forms, because they did that with Sun and Moon. They're like, here's these new Pokemon. And then you're like, well, Fennekin's the way to fucking go. And then it evolved into this, like, the shittiest looking fox wizard thing. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, like, I get that. I'm okay. I hope they don't ruin Grookey.
Yeah.
And what do you think? Okay, so what's yours? What's one of you most excited about?
I don't know. They all look like Pikmin to me, so I don't really know where.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really do.
So I literally look at them all and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Olimar would just take all of them. So scripts. I'm still looking for the script for the 10 things.
Yeah, I don't know. Sobble looks pretty cool. Here's. I think they kind of hinted at some pretty cool crossovers of like the future evolutions.
Yeah.
It's like Sobble could potentially be the water ghost that everyone's been hoping for.
Yeah. I'm a little hesitant to choose Scorbunny because I just don't want another fucking firefighting.
Yeah.
Like
that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
Like the bandage across the nose.
Yeah. I told Will this morning. It's like literally, so out of the seven generations, generation one and two were just fire, I'm pretty sure, throughout the whole way. And then generation three was firefighting. Generation four was fire and fighting. And then it went to, what was five? Five was fire and dark. And then it went back to fire and fighting again. Infernape. It was Incineroar. So yeah, three of the seven fire starters have been firefighting. And it's just like, can we please just do anything else?
Yeah, I'm hoping that they change that. It's not going to be firefighting. I actually really hope Grookey is like a grass fighting.
Yeah.
Because that would be a good mix, and I feel like they've have it ready to go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I don't know what Scorbunny else would be.
Yeah.
It's like, it looks like it's a fast Pokemon, but like, there's nothing about fast.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm just looking at my, script here now. So good rivals was number 10. Number 9 was a difficulty setting, so that would be nice if they could throw that in there, just
like a game plus mode.
Yeah, like and you can choose it from the beginning. You don't have to beat the game first and then go back and have to re-catch everything. I think yeah, what did I say in the video here? I said that, okay, yeah, instead of you just, like, putting your fucking shoes on and going, like, going into the lab and getting your starter, you should have to go through, like, a Pokemon Academy or something where you have to do 4 to 5 related tasks, and then the game gauges how experienced you are playing the game based on how you complete those tasks. And then it's like, oh, so using the slider from 1 being, like, complete noob to 10 being, like, fucking world champion Pokemon video game player. You know, it'll gauge the slider on how difficult it should be.
Kingdom Hearts had something like that in all their games.
Oh, yeah?
The beginning of the games, they do this, like, prologue-ish scene where you have to answer questions, and based off how you answered the question, change the difficulty of the game.
Shit. That's good. Yeah, and then I also pointed out, like, in Pokemon Origins, the anime, Brock asked Red how many badges he has, and then he's like, none, and he's like, okay, well, I'll battle you with these two then. So, yeah, if they could do something like that, so depending on what difficulty you have, it's like, how many badges do you have? And you can go to any gym you want, in any order, and then they just fight you with Pokemon based off your difficulty and how many badges you already have.
So I see that potentially happening, because I feel like this one is supposed to be open world.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they've hinted at strongly.
Well, as open world as it can be, it's just a straight line of land with a big snowy mountain obstacle. I can get, like, up top there, on the top of the snowy mountain, that's probably the Pokemon League, unless maybe that other place we thought was a team hideout is probably the Pokemon League.
Yeah.
Cause
that could just be.
Yeah, it kind of
actually
looks
that
like, yeah,
up that, there. That's, I think that's the Colosseum up there. I think you're right. I think the bigger one's the Pokemon League, and up there is the Colosseum. Because they hinted at a really big competitive side to this, where you can go into Colosseums and fight against other trainers.
Man, what if that top bit is like the post game? So like,
yeah, that's what I strongly think it is. Now that I'm looking at it,
because you have to go through the snowy mountains, which is going to be just like hard as shit. And then you'll get up to the top there, and then you got this massive city of multiplayer options, and it's got a battle frontier and all that. That'd be sick.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine, and they felt like the Colosseum clip that was in the trailer or in the direct was hinting at, like, the competitive side of this series.
Yeah, because that's kind of what it's missing too. I'll open up my script again. This is like number 4 or something. Oh no, it's number 7. So a ranked online battle system. Like, we just need something to keep us all basically invested in the game. So it basically gives you incentive to actually, you know, do fucking 4 generation egg breeding and get those special egg moves or whatever, just so you can increase your rank online.
Yeah, I agree. With the Colosseum again, I think they could almost do like a survival mode, where you're just fighting like wave after wave after wave after wave after wave, and it's like to see how far you make it with the team that you have.
Yeah, but it shouldn't get any more difficult as it goes on. Like, it should just remain the same, because like your stamina is going to run out eventually.
Yeah, it will. I agree. It should just remain the same, but you're fighting different Pokemon. So yeah, and you have to like strategically build a team.
Yeah,
and like resource control and like stat building on that team to make it as far as you can.
Totally, that'd be awesome. So I mentioned also the Battle Frontier needs to be fucking sick, basically like Pokemon Emerald worthy. The only other Battle Frontier, whatever you call them, buildings or whatever, in other games that I actually really liked, I think it was in, it might have been in Gold and Silver. I can't, like the remakes, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, but I can't remember. It was the one where you had to pick which type you had to fight, and then you had to fight 10 in that type category, I think 10 times. Or 7, no, it was 7 times. You had to fight in that category for 7 times, and then that category went away, and you had to choose another category, and it had all 17 Pokemon types. So if once you made it all the way to the end by defeating all of these different types, then the Frontier Brain came out and challenged you. And it was really cool. So, like, for example, and you can only go in with one Pokemon, and then you had to stick with that Pokemon for the all 17 types. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so for example, I chose, like, for Alligator or something. And then, obviously, for Alligator, it's weak to Grass type, so I just went with Grass type. Because every time you finish 7 battles, then you check out, and then you have to check back in, and every time you check back in, it gets way harder.
Okay.
It was it was really cool.
I see that being fun. Like, I really feel like, yeah, they have to throw in some random challenges and maybe some random encounters like that you have to go back to that they were just too OP.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I really actually liked the Pokédex, how the Pokédex worked in, the Hoenn remakes. I can't remember. The Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. I really liked how the Pokédex worked, and that the, was it the Pokénav, where it, like, it told you how many Pokémon you had left on the route?
I didn't play that one, so I'm kind of a little out of the loop on it.
Yeah, I remember it was that game specifically, but yeah, they had a system in place where you open the Pokénav and whatever route you're on, it would say, you've caught this, 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 and that, and then it would tell you if you've caught everything on the route, or it would just not say anything, and then you know that, oh, there's one more Pokemon on that route. And if you've seen it and it's ran away, it'll show it like kind of like it does in the Pokedex, like it's just like a black silhouette.
Oh, black, yeah, silhouette, okay.
Yeah, but once you catch everything, it says, like, it gives you a little check mark, like, you got everything, so move on. So that's how it made it really easy for me to complete the National Dex in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
Okay, yeah, no, I can see that being a good feature.
So hopefully the Pokedex, not even just the Pokedex, just the way it tracks what you're catching needs to be good. So, you know what else would be good? Achievements.
Yes.
Like,
now that they have online play, they need to start integrating achievements more.
100%. And just, especially in a Pokemon game, like, it's such a grand task now to catch every single Pokemon and complete your National Dex. So, just giving, like, a little bit of a, you know, pat on the back every once in a while, and then give you a little, you know, little bonus.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be just something to make you feel good.
Yeah. So, Pokemon Go. I just saw the name in the script. Yeah. Pokemon Go is giving me some trouble right now. Anyways, yeah, like, spend 100,000 Pokédollars. That would take a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really excited, but I gotta say, with the Direct, they left so many questions unanswered that they're going to torture us with this for the next 9 months.
Yeah, they're probably just going to have some sort of, like, bleak demo at E3 this year, or even at any of the packs. And yeah, it's going to, basically, you're going to, like, start your journey and then get your starter and then encounter about, like, two new Pokemon, and that's going to be it.
When I think it was October, beginning of October, they did that really big Smash Brothers Direct.
Yep.
I feel like they're going to do the exact same thing around the same time, but a big Pokemon Direct.
Yeah, totally. I really like that Nintendo has all these little Directs, and they keep them a secret until about, like, 4 hours before it goes fucking live, it seems like. And then none of the other competitors, like, can counter it until, like, it's too late.
No, and it's always different times. Like, the one this morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why 6 a.m.?
What is Japan time right now? Let me ask.
Probably what it was.
Let me ask my phone. Come on. What time is it in Japan? Oh, I cut myself off.
The time in Tokyo, Japan, is 10:34 a.m.
So right now it's 17:34 my time. So they're on the next day though.
Yeah.
So
I guess 12, it would have been around there 5 o'clock.
They're 17 hours ahead of us. So.
Okay. I guess it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just North American problems, I guess.
Yeah. It's like when the international hockey game's in, like, Russia, and they're like, what the fuck? I got to get up at 2 a.m. to watch the game.
Yeah, that's painful. Yeah. But we're Canadian. We do it.
Yeah. We get our Timmy's coffee and our double-double coffee. Everyone's gonna ask what that is now, because
double double
and a puck bunny and all that, all those terminology things that Canadians use. But yeah, so this Pokemon Direct, like I said, was just, it's just, they just release it and they basically let a bomb go off and then everyone gets stoked. And Nintendo's marketing is actually really fucking good. Like, they have really good marketing, and despite that, most of the original fan base has kind of moved on to have more than just the Nintendo console. Yeah, it's just spectacular how good their marketing is. Other than with the Wii U, we'll just exclude that one. That one is really shitty. I think they fired their marketing team and then brought some other guy in. It was Doug Bowser.
Yeah. So actually, one thing about the Wii U, the president of Nintendo, and I don't even know his name because I'll butcher it so bad. But he took a pay cut during that time period, so he wouldn't fire people.
Oh, it was because he had, it was Iwata.
He had faith in the team that they would bounce back.
Yeah, and then he died, and then Nintendo took a hit for a bit. Not just because he died, but just because the morale was a little low.
Yeah.
So,
but they came back pretty strong. Like, the Switch is amazing.
Yeah, the Switch is killing it. Actually, you know what? People that have completely deserted Nintendo, every time I talk to them, I tell them just like three games on the Switch, and like what Nintendo has done to change it, and it like blows their mind. And they're like, "Oh my god, I'm buying a Switch right now!" Like, I've convinced so many people to buy a Switch; it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're missing out. If you don't own a Switch, you are missing out.
Yeah, and you can play it anywhere. I play it at work. I go tell all my crew what to do, and then I chill in my car for about an hour and play some Super Mario Odyssey.
There's some games that you don't even need to get like super invested in that you can play a little bit and put it down.
Yeah, totally.
So like, if you're addicted to Fortnite, play something in between while you're waiting for the rounds or you're waiting for your squad to like die.
Yep. And even you can, if you get the Nintendo Online service, like you can play the classics. Like, I was on the plane to my vacation, I was playing Super Mario Bros. And I was trying to speedrun it, and it's fucking hard.
I don't think I could ever beat those games.
I got to World 8. I got to the castle at 8, but died on it. So,
What's sad is when I was a kid, I ended up having chicken pox, and I went to my grandparents, and this is like a really weird story, but this is where I probably got addicted to video games. For a week straight, my grandparents let me just play the Nintendo, and so I played like Mario 3, Bibble Bobble, Dr. Mario.
Yeah.
And I remember beating some of those games when I was that young, but now I go back to play them, I'm like, how did I ever beat this?
Yeah. What freaking game did I play recently that was like, oh, I played Dr. Mario 2, and it was like, I sucked ass at Dr. Mario, actually. So
yeah, it's a lot harder.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
And now there's a Dr. Mario for mobile. Hopefully it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, I saw that post. You guys posted something on that on your website.
We did. I can't honestly remember anything about it. I'm just like, ooh, that's good. Dr. Mario for mobile. So, and now there's Tetris 99.
That looks like a lot of fun. I haven't played it, though.
I haven't played it either. Jay Witz was streaming it, and I kind of watched a bit of it. But, a battle royale for Tetris is a new idea that's kind of good, actually. Instead of just being a FPS or a third-person shooter or whatever.
It's a challenge. Like, it's more of a mind challenge, and you're really, like... Yeah. Planning out how you're doing things.
Yeah. So, okay, actually a side note. So, this just kind of proves that your phone's always listening to you. Because I said, what time is it in Japan? But I started talking before it started listening, and it only got, is it in Japan? And it told me the time without me correcting anything. So, it's like always listening to you.
Yep. Technology is scary.
Some bullshit. All right. Google's going to take over the world. I'll keep saying that, and then when I'm right in 2050, I'll say I'll totally soul and then die.
Just check it out. We don't need to talk about it. Check it out. Google has this new feature where you can tell Google Assistant to make phone calls for you, and it'll actually call and talk to a real person, and you don't have to do anything.
As the robot?
Yeah, no, it sounds like a real person. It is freaky.
What?
Like, it sounds like a real conversation. Like, you had an assistant call and make an appointment for you, but it was the Google Assistant that did it.
That's fucked up, dude.
Look it up. They announced it last year, and they showed like three different call options in it. It is crazy how this technology is.
Oh, dude, you're fucking freaking me out. Like, that's, yeah. Google Assistant
makes appointments.
Makes appointments.
I'll try to find it too.
This is fucked up, dude. Like, Google Home was kind of a thing for me, because you can basically connect to it at any time. You can have it dictate to your Google Home when you're not at home to like tell your wife to like make dinner, and then she'll yell at the Google Home instead of you. But Google, hang on, Google Assistant calls to make appointment on BBC. That's a good source of information, isn't it?
I have the website right here, or I have the YouTube video right here. I'll link it.
Okay. Hi, I'm calling to book a woman's hair cut for a client. Oh, that's funny.
I just sent it on Skype there. This is the YouTube video where Google makes a phone call for you.
Okay, so it's audio. So I'm gonna turn the music off here, and we're gonna listen to this, and we're gonna just all like cringe because robots are gonna take over the world. Okay, here we go.
How can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a woman's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
That's fucked.
What service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Have a great day.
That is just fucked up.
The next call is even more crazy, because he calls like a foreign restaurant, and like the conversation goes sideways, but it still registers what's going on, and it answers the questions.
That blows my mind. It's called Google Duplex. Okay, I'll just skip this guy talking. Okay, here we go.
Can care of.
See how may I hear you?
Hi, I'd like to reserve a table for Wednesday the 7th.
For 7 people.
It's for 4 people.
4 people? When?
Next night? Wednesday at 6 p.m.
I think the that's, question I would get...
That's kind of screwed up.
I saw some chatter around.
That did go kind of sideways, because she's obviously not from, you know, here. And, and she was kind of screwing it up. And, like you said, that's crazy, dude.
It reacted and goes, oh, no, this is what I want. And it's like... How do you have that technology? Like, that is just, that's creepy.
Yeah. So I wonder how the prep goes for that. So does he ask you all the questions and then, the Google ask you all the questions and then you just answer them?
No, I think literally you just tell Google, like the one at the beginning of the one video I watched, it says, hey, Google, make a hair appointment for me. And then it just calls.
Interesting.
So in that, the last one, I think it's like, hey, Google, reserve a seat for next Wednesday at this restaurant. And then it'll call for you to reserve seats.
That's fucked up. So basically...
am I torturing our Google Home?
Yes, you are. Understand.
I have a Google Home, and apparently because I keep saying, hey, Google, it is freaking out in my living room.
Right on. Yeah, I think that's kind of scary, though. Like, but it, you would never... double book yourself, because you would, if you book everything through this Google, then it would be like, oh, you can't, like, it would say, oh, yeah, I only have an appointment at 2 o'clock, and then if it knows you have something else booked, it won't book it.
Yeah, it won't book it, because it'll keep track of everything, like your Google Calendar.
Yeah, it's scary enough that I use Gmail for work, for both the Video Games Now stuff, and then for my actual work. And then I use Outlook for my personal email. So Outlook and Google aren't connected. It's just Microsoft, right? So I will book a flight, and then I'll use my personal email to like confirm the flight and all that kind of stuff. So it'll send me to my email all your flight information. And then somehow it makes it onto your Google Calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And it like knows your flight number and everything, and I'm like, how the fuck do you know this? Like, I can understand if you use Gmail, but not Outlook.
Yeah. No. For any listeners right now, if you have any like funny stories of like Google overhearing your conversations, you got to share them, because yeah, I want to read them. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, we'll throw the link for this podcast on our Facebook page, and then you can comment below any interesting Google stories. So, apparently, I think it was my brother telling me this. Apparently, you can set your Google to, because you can buy all the Google fucking everything, like Google light bulbs and Google, like, whatever to lock your door and all that kind of stuff. You can basically control your whole house through Google, which I'm telling you, this is why they're going to take over the world. And, basically, you can set it so, like, you say a keyword and then a combination of things happen. So, what was the, I think he said danger, and that was the keyword, and then all the lights turned red, and it played, like, the theme from, like, Psycho.
You could have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, totally. Like,
there is so much that is integrated. Like, I have a Google Home. I have two. And I have a few other things that go with it. And the amount of stuff you can play with and do while you're just lazily sitting there on the couch.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there's not more, like, YouTube videos of people, like, doing random stuff with Google Home.
Oh, you know what? The fucking best thing I've seen. We're getting up, like, really off topic from Pokemon.
Yeah, we are.
We'll come back to it. Okay, the best thing I've seen is some NASA engineer made a glitter bomb for people who were stealing packages off people's front porches.
Yes,
it's
seen that.
So fucking funny. So if you're listening and you have not seen that video, you need to go watch it. It's so good. He, like, engineers this thing to a T. But basically, it's a package, and he's designed it so that he can put four cell phones in it so it can film the whole thing. And, I don't know how he does it all. It, like, powers all the cell phones and all that kind of stuff. But as soon as you pull off the top of the box, it'll trigger the glitter bomb. So it'll basically just spit out glitter. And it's super, super fine glitter. And then all the cameras film it, and they get it on camera. And then if you don't throw the box out your window, it triggers a second alarm, which is like the fart in a can thing, and it just smells rank as shit. And it just, like, fills their car or their room or whatever with whatever fart smell from the fart in the can. And then people just throw it out in the fucking street. And then the guy has a GPS into it, so he goes and retrieves it and then gets all the footage and then puts it
gets
on the internet.
Gets all the footage.
Yeah, it's so
moral
good.
Of the story, don't steal people's fucking Amazon packages.
Oh, yeah. It's so frustrating. Anyway, so back to Pokemans here. So let's talk about the main characters. So I'm just trying to think what. So the first Pokemon game, it's like 8-bit, so you can't really judge it too much. Same with the second game. The third game, everyone started to get kind of critical of Brendan's hat, and they're like, "What the fuck is that?" Like, no one knew if it was a hat or like a hair, and he had like a bandana on. That's what I thought it was forever.
And yeah,
it turned out to be a hat.
That's what you get from low key graphics, though, right?
Yeah. And then 4, everyone was like, what the fuck's with Lucas and his stupid little English hat? I remember that being an issue. But it's fine. It was fine at the end. I think my brother played as Don because he didn't want Lucas's stupid English hat. So, anyways, 5. I think 5 was the first time you can customize your dude. I think it was either 5 or 6. I can't remember.
It's definitely one of those.
Yeah, so, but anyways, after that, people kind of calmed down. But anyways, what are your initial thoughts on the characters?
Well, there's a few videos in it, like the few cutscenes in it. Like, I like the way the initial ones look, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of customization in this.
Yeah,
if they have the online components, I think they have to have the online customization, so you make a character that's yours.
Yeah.
And so
they'll probably have
hope that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have the same sort of thing on as in Let's Go, where it's like select your shade of skin color, because that's a thing. But anyways, so they're both pasty white though, like
they are in the trailer.
Yeah, they look like they belong in Europe. Just like, I'm trying to think of like Switzerland. Have you ever been to Switzerland?
No.
Yeah, they're all pasty white there.
Irish people are, no offense to Irish people, Irish people are considered pretty pasty.
They're pretty pasty, yeah. Yeah, I have a couple of Irish friends that live here. They're pretty pasty.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, his backpack looks like a suitcase. You notice that? Like, actually, both of them look like they could carry, like, about two dead bodies in it.
Hers looks a little bit more like a backpack. His looks very, like, rectangle. Like, it's very, like, clean cut.
Yeah. And you know what? I guess they're... I was gonna complain about how they're all, like, scrawny little, like, kids. And I'll bring up the meme I saw about between gold, like the original gold from Gold Silver, the main dude, and then the guy from the remake, and it like compares the two of them. I fucking died laughing so hard because it's just like talks about how scrawny the Heart Gold Soul Silver main protagonist is and how he wouldn't be able to make it to Cherryville. Oh, I fucking died. And then it talked about gold. It's like, look at these legs. These legs are bigger than tree trunks and can kick Don Fan into the next region. And I was fucking dying. It was good. So I'm sure if you just type in gold versus Ethan, I think his name is, it'll come up. But yeah, they're all scrawny, but I guess they're 10. Yeah, they're 10. I'll let that go. So... yeah, I think that about wraps up our little chat here on Pokemon Sword and Shield.
I got one final question about it. Which one are you going to buy? Are you going to buy Sword or are you going to buy Shield?
I always buy the more manly one. that means fucking nothing. But it's just how I perceive it. But I'll probably get Sword because I'm very much not a defender. I'm very much an attacker, so that's literally the reason I'm choosing Pokemon Sword.
Pokemon Sword? Yeah. I gotta go Shield. I think it just looks better. Like, they've really kind of let me down on their sword.
Yeah, you're right. If the fucking sword was a Master Sword, I'd be into that.
I would be okay with that, but I don't know if they'd ever do that.
Probably not. And then the Hylian Shield, and then Link's a Pokemon. But
yes,
yeah. So this game looks really good. I'm so excited. The graphics are, I mean, every Pokemon game the graphics get better and better and better as technology advances, but it's just so nice that we finally have a Pokemon game on basically a main console.
Yes, I agree. And like, not something like, it's like an odd Pokemon game that they just kind of threw out to fill space.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, that's all they announced. They just showed off the region a little bit. Gyms make a return. So there's no, I'm hoping there's no trials. I did like the trials, but I kind of was talking to Will about it this morning. They in Hawaii or whatever the fuck, Alola, they should have had the gym system still, and then the trials should have been part of the end game, I think. And then because basically each trial at the very end of it, you had to fight this big ass Pokemon, and they could have made that a legendary or something.
Yeah, anything to make the game longer, I feel, is probably needed.
Yeah, the end game in Sun and Moon was kind of bleh.
So we'll see. We'll see how much they'll definitely announce a lot more about this game. So I'm really excited to see what more comes.
Yes, and yeah, I'm excited to see actually where this is based off of because it's kind of driving me crazy. I'm gonna lose some sleep tonight for sure. So, but yeah, like I said, the graphics look good. The grass looks amazing. Like, it looks really fucking real. But yeah, they didn't show off a whole lot of new Pokemon in the trailer. There's lots of existing Pokemon, but they only showed off the three starters as the new ones.
The new ones, yeah.
Yep. Cool. Oh, actually, I have a fucking confession to make. So, on the cruise, there's the cruise directing staff, and they're in charge of all the activities and entertainment on the boat. And this one kid had a Pokemon knowledge test, and I'm like, I'm fucking going to that. And then Brittany, of course, is like, oh my god, I'm so embarrassed. And I'm like, shut up. Anyways, yeah, so I went to this Pokemon knowledge test, and I aced it. I got 100% because it was all easy questions. The hardest question was like, who was the first Pokemon? And I'm like, how fucking dare you ask that question, because there's four right answers. but anyways, I guess I pick one, and it turned out to be right, so that was nice. But anyway, so another guy got 100% too. So the tiebreaker was we had to fucking sing the first Pokemon theme from the fucking anime, and I'm like, I mean, I did theater and stuff before, so I was like, whatever, no big deal. So I did it, but the other guy looked super uncomfortable, and
I kind of wish that was on film.
Yeah, you know you don't. But yeah, so basically I won because of my theater experience in the past. Yeah, and then
good job,
I just And then I could tell I pissed off a kid because he was playing the Pokemon knowledge test and he failed. So I gave him my prize.
Hats off to you. That's at least nice.
Yeah.
You get like, bragging rights.
I'm the very best, but here you can have the fucking water bottle. I have six of them. So
that's he made his day.
Yeah, that's all they were giving out in the ship for prizes was like water bottles. So yeah. All right. I think we should wrap this podcast up with our Google nonsense taking over most of that last half. But anyways, guys, thanks a lot for watching. Let us know on our social media pages what you think of Reggie retiring from Nintendo and your thoughts on Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield and any Google Assistant stories that you may have, because we want to know what they are. And we'll see you guys all on the next one. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.